Of the 2.3 million prisoners behind bars in the United States, approximately 50,000 are juveniles who are fulfilling sentences in detention centers, long-term secure care facilities, residential treatment, group homes, and adult prisons. Upon release from these facilities, 85% of all those juveniles will recidivate into the system within 5 years. In an effort to combat the effects of recidivism, education has been highlighted as a preventative tool in the efforts of crime reduction and prevention. Unfortunately, despite the efficaciousness of schooling on criminal reformation, only 30% of students who exit the justice system re-enroll into a traditional educational setting. For the majority of students, this impartiality towards school is multifaceted and is often biased to race, gender, neuronormativity, and socioeconomic status. These factors help facilitate negative interactions with authority, adverse peer relationships, teacher exoneration, and an anodyne school climate. Despite the negative outlook on prison education, I believe that incarcerated students are entitled to the same quality of education as their peers outside of corrections. Unpacking the prejudice that exists within both the educational system and the justice system involves a critical approach to dismantle the power within these institutions. The pervasive themes necessary for understanding these systems involve an analysis of the roles of class, race, gender, ability, and socioeconomics of students in incarceration. In order to specifically investigate the impact of educational identity on the life of juveniles in the justice system, these factors have to be examined from multiple contexts. The intersectional roles of oppression all execute a unique function both in how youth are educated and how they're punished. In the examination of educational identity, or general identity, there are specific lenses that demand to be employed in order to provide a counter-narrative to traditional conceptions of what makes a student successful, both inside and outside of prison. Due to the connection seen between a positive sense of educational identity and continued academic enrollment, it's imperative to take into account the various modes of knowledge and skill that incarcerated students can demonstrate post-release. In the case of studying this particular phenomena, employing a funds of knowledge approach to reframing the contributions atypical students bring to the classroom is a radical approach to counter traditional models of success. Funds of knowledge has been presented to demonstrate the complex cultural, linguistic, and social accumulation of abilities that minority groups bring into socioculturally normative settings. It's no doubt that the modes of success that are instantiated into largely white, middle-class, able-bodied, monolingual institutions are used to define students. Deconstructing these monolithic frames in favor of more diverse and holistic criteria for constructing school climate, evaluating student success and building relationships could shift the formation of identity and educational equity for all students. Attempting to understand the world, its inhabitants, and their vast circumstances is an act of resistance. For generations, we've built systems and developed biases that prevent us from actively succeeding in embracing one another and providing equitable experiences to all. My belief instantiates the desire to bring equity, education, and opportunity to those that have been most adversely affected by the structures of our society.